Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, July 13th, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening in over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, consider taking our 90-hour court access in the common law course. You can find the link on our front page and in the description below. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. You can click on the donation tab on the top right side of our website. We also have Bible studies on Wednesdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here in this room. Tonight's scripture reading is going to be in Ephesians chapter, I believe I opened it up already, I think it's chapter 2. Yep, Ephesians chapter 2, and it's read by Alexander Scorby. Ephesians chapter 2.
Chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
If you're talking, John, I can't hear you.
I lost you. Yep.
Okay, sorry, I didn't unmute my mic. Do we have any questions tonight, Jan?
No, well, we have two. Yep. First one's a little bit long, but bear with me. Regards family law and manners.
You're coming in a little.
I do have a...
How far are you away from your mic? Maybe you're too far away from your mic.
Well, it's just... Hang on a sec. Not any better?
Well, we'll try it. See how it goes.
Well, you're much louder. Maybe it just takes up the earphones instead of the mic. Family law matters. I do have a few questions with family law. My son-in-law has been dealing with the mother of his son and the grandmother. They didn't allow him to see or visit his son for over 18 years now. He has been faithful in paying child support, but they would allow him, well, they would not allow him to see his son. I guess they did. This last week, the mother of his son sent documents him to come to court so she can change the boy's last name to the mother's last name. First question, does my son-in-law need a lawyer to write up an affidavit, or can I help him do it as a representative? There's two more questions. You want me to go through all of them first, John?
Well, it's a little complicated, maybe. I'm not sure I understand. The son wants to go to court for what purpose? To change his name or not to change the name?
No, no. The son has been allowed to see his son up until just recently, and now his ex-wife has brought papers and so on and wants to change the last name of the boy to the mother's last name.
All right, well, I guess, you know, first of all, I'd go to the Department of Records, I would guess, to see what possibilities there are on that, number one. And I'm sure if there's nothing set up, you know, again, if all parties are in agreement, there shouldn't be a problem. If some of the parties are in disagreement, then that would require a court case. And yes, you could represent your son if you're able to. Unfortunately, people don't know the law, and that's that was by design to begin with. They purposely left out teaching us civics, teaching us Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence and our Bill of Rights, and left out teaching us the law and who we are as a people. We're a Christian nation, and so many other things. But that is now up to us to take care of that business, since they haven't taught us. And if we don't take care of that business, then we don't deserve anything, because liberty is not going to protect itself. The Constitution is not going to protect itself. It takes the people to do that, which is what I think we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, maybe. But I was taking some notes a little earlier, and we'll see where we go with that. Was there a second part to that question? Or did
I
cover
three. Yeah, there's three. What is the best way for him to respond to their request? And the second one.
Well, does he say that he's in opposition to this request?
Well, I would assume so, or that we wouldn't be talking about.
If he's in opposition to
a lawyer,
if he's in opposition to this request, then he can deny it, and there's nothing they could do about it. They could try to take it to court. But look, at birth is birth, and once the papers are filed, unless the father is not the true father, then maybe there'd be a chance, I would imagine, that they could make those changes if it wasn't a biological father. But since he is the biological father, I don't think even the courts could do anything about that. But that would have to be taken. First of all, I would check it out to see what law might be already in place concerning that kind of a situation. That'll take a little research, maybe calling down to where the records are and talking to somebody down there, but they're not too bright either, so I don't know. You're going to have to research it yourself. But just deny it. They're going to have to take you to court to do it then.
Yeah, well, that was the start of the question. She hadn't gone to the court and wants him to come to the court so she can change the boy's last name. The third
She's probably trying to get that, done with his approval. And I don't even know even with his, if he's a biological father, I don't know even with his approval, well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Again, that's going to take research. But I would imagine if he's a biological father, denial, they can't do anything.
Okay.
And I don't think the court can do that, but he better study up on the law, the procedure and processes, and see what kind of statutes they're going to try to throw at him. And that would take some research, again, to prepare for that. But remember, we're under common law, and that's the kind of position that should be held. Unfortunately, you know, courts don't acknowledge the common law. They have a strange idea of what the common law is. But again, if that person comes to the mic at some point, we can maybe they'll have more specific questions, and I have some better answers to some of them. We'll see what goes on. Okay, next, Jan.
Okay, the next part is, do you think it is his right to say no consent to her request, and is there a possible consequence for not consenting?
Absolutely not, no. In order for him to be forced to go into that court, he needs to get a subpoena. And if they don't subpoena him to court and she's just asking him to come to court, I wouldn't even go.
Hey, what about the part where he paid child support for 18 years? Doesn't that make the child an adult now?
Over 17.
That's what I was a little confused about, because it sounds like the son has a position too, but I don't understand the son's position. But go ahead, Jan, maybe you know.
No, I really don't, but it's over 17 and it's not 18 yet. Well, it doesn't really say it in the way it's written. They just said that he was allowed to see or visit his son for over 17 years. Now, that doesn't tell you how old the son was when they divorced.
Yeah, you know, it's very unfortunate. And again, sometimes there may be a good reason why a parent can't see their child, and you know, under some conditions. But generally speaking, they do this often in the courts because they like to destroy the family. You know, the purpose of the family court is to destroy the family, whether people realize that or not. They need to open their eyes up and wake up and start looking into what's going on, because, let me tell you, it's a mess in the courts. And again, that our purpose here at National Liberty Alliance, our main focus is to bring back a courts of justice. And if we don't accomplish that goal, then America will be lost. It doesn't matter what Trump does, doesn't matter what anyone will do, unless the Trump administration is woken up to and understand who we are as a people and understand that we're a republic. And, you know, we're not a democracy. We certainly are not a communist or socialist nation. But anyway, I may talk a little more about that in a little while. So, but any other parts to that question?
No, that's the end of that question. I have one more question. How do I make a complaint against an officer and a lieutenant for accusing me of having contraband in my pelvis? I'd like to sue them as well.
Contraband in what?
In her pelvis. In other words, apparently a search.
Okay. Did he have contraband? I mean, what was it that they were looking for? What did they find?
It doesn't say. This is a woman. It does not say that they found anything. They just accused her, and I don't know whether she dissuaded them or what. It doesn't say.
Yes, it's difficult to respond to that question because it depends on what they found, if they found anything. If they didn't find nothing, you know, there's a couple of different things here. Also, you know, if they searched it without purpose, you know, they have to have follow the law. You know, they have to have a reason to search her. You know, it doesn't say what the circumstances were. I mean, we would need to know more. Maybe that person can come to the mic if they're in tonight or next week, and or maybe they can give us some details. And again, you know, we can't read pages of information on these, questions that we respond to through email. But to give us more information, you know, a couple of line on this, a couple of line on that, maybe I'd be able to give some more thoughts. But there's so many possibilities with what was going on. I had to answer numerous things. So anyway, We need more info.
That's the last question, John.
Okay, any announcements or anything?
No, everything's pretty well gone by right now.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Again, anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a star 6 and a 1. There's nobody in the queue at the moment. If you're on a phone, if you're on an Napa browser, there should be a button there to get into the queue. So, I was thinking about a couple of things right before we started. Started to take some quick notes, and so I might try to fumble through a few things here. America indeed lost her way. We're lost, and we're lost because the people are lost. That's the problem. You know, if we go into article, let me open this page up here and read some things in the Constitution. If we go into Article 4, Subsection 4, which is probably a good place to start to take a look at a few things here, we read that the United States shall guarantee to every state of this Union a republican form of government and shall protect them against invasion. And on application of the legislature or the executive against domestic violence. Now, I know it's kind of early for Trump to make certain moves. I got to believe he's going to be making a move on this one, the way he talks particularly about the communists. I mean, you know, New York City, they're under communist rule. They're socialists. They're communists. That's against the law. It's against the Constitution. That mayor down there should be shut down. He should be arrested, actually. He should be removed from office. That's the law. He's not promising us, he's not guaranteeing us a republican form of government. And this, in my opinion, it's an invasion at this point because it's far more than just New York City. It's really become a problem throughout the United States in many, many places. And all kinds of different ideas of government is being brought through, you know, socialism, communism. And I'll tell you what, all these people, just about everybody up there in office, seems to think we're a democracy. The Constitution does not say that they are to guarantee us a democratic form of government. It says a republican form of government. You don't see the word democracy or democrat anywhere in the Constitution. You only find it in, I believe it's just in the Federalist Papers, just one of the papers, which they talk about democracy because they considered many, many different governments, you know, looking and researching different things. Matter of fact, Jefferson done most of the research on that. And they looked at democracy. They looked at maybe a king again. They looked at numerous different forms of government and come to realize, well, a republican form of government is the only suitable a form of government that gives the people a chance at liberty. But we're a very special kind of form of republican form of government. We are a natural law, a common law republic. So we're under the laws of nature and of nature's God. That is the foundation of our founding documents. That is the Declaration of Independence. That's who we are as a people. And that brings us ultimately under the laws of God. And common law is really common sense. God told us that he wrote his laws into our hearts. We know right from wrong. We know when a person is injured, not injured. We know what needs to be done, you know, and people are supposed to be tried by their peers within their counties. None of this stuff seems to be happening very well. A lot of times people aren't even brought before a trial by jury in criminal cases. And in civil cases, when they request or even demand a trial by jury, they're denied. Evidence is cut. The courts are an abomination. People don't realize how bad it is, because I would imagine if people understood how bad this is, they'd be doing a lot more. Liberty is not going to protect itself. We have so many problems, and nobody is addressing these problems. The only ones addressing this problem is right here, National Liberty Alliance. And I know there's a few other people out there, other groups that maybe are looking into different things. We've taken a comprehensive look at these things and a comprehensive, really, stance on these things to deal with all of the problems that we have, particularly in the courts, in our education. Okay, our children are not getting a formal education. I have talked to some people this past 4th of July. I went out and handed out papers and, you know, inviting people to come join us and get a proper education. Hopefully some people have responded to that. I'm hoping others have done the same. You know, we put out a lot of information on that. We put up a flyer. And that flyer could be passed out at any time, by the way. You know, you can get that on our front page. Anybody that's online and watching the desktop, I'll click on the flyer, Make America a Republic Again, because only the people can save America. The question is will you? Will you save America? If a people are not interested in re-educating themselves in areas that they've never been educated, the most important things in the world, you know, that people should be educated in. One is education in your God. You should have a relationship with your God. Now, you can have a priest or a pastor or whatever else, and they can assist you and help you and guide you to some degree, but it's up to you to work that relationship out with your God. People don't even do that, okay? And the second most important thing is having a relationship with your government, making sure that we're keeping them under the Constitution, obedient to the Constitution, obedient to the will of the people. When I was handing these flyers out, I saw some children here or there, you know, and some of these children looked old enough to read, so I gave them a flyer also. And I asked them if they say the Pledge of Allegiance in school. The answer was alarming. You know, they teach our children all kinds of seriously terrible things. Okay, our children are confused. They don't know whether they're a boy or a girl. They don't know who their God is. They're lost online. They're lost in school. They're being demoralized in school. And I guess we, the people, are just too busy to pay any attention to that, and we're not going to do anything about it. But we need to be doing something about it, because if we don't do anything about it, we don't deserve liberty. We deserve liberty to be gone. Only the people can fix this problem. This has to be dealt with in the courts, and we have to get administration back up on these things, of course, and that's what we're working on and been trying to work on for quite some time. I think we got their ear, but we'll see what happens over time. But it's up to the people to get a proper education in schools. And we teach people how to do that. You could do that. You can take control of the school board. You can fire the school board. You can get rid of them and take their positions. We show you how. I don't know how many people have gone in to learn how to do that, but we teach people that. But Article 4, Subsection 4, Guarantee of a Republican Form of Government, is probably one of the most important things that we need to really focus in on. Because if we don't have a Republican form of government, and in this case, a natural law Republican government, that means we're under the laws of nature and of nature's God, not man's law. That means we have unalienable rights that man cannot remove from us. And yet they do, and we don't say nothing. We don't say anything. And let's look at Article 1, Subsection 8. Well, we'll save that for later. Article 1, Subsection 9. Let's take a quick look at that. Article 1, subsection 9, and let's see what it says. If I can get there. Okay, I think it's 8-9. Here it is. Which one is it? This is subsection 9, clause 4. No captation or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census or enumeration herein before directed to be taken. A direct tax is an income tax. We've been paying income tax all of our lives. At least a lot of us have been. And you can roll this over into also your property tax. If you don't pay your property tax, they come take your home away from you and your property away. So you don't really own that. You're renting it. And if you don't pay the people who are renting it to you, namely the government, the local government, then they take it from you. You don't own your home. And you're enslaved by income tax. Another one. Okay, and I was just writing a few notes. I got about four or five of them, but I know there's more, and maybe one day we'll cover it even more. But let's go to Article 4, Subsection 1. Article 4, Subsection 1 of the Constitution. Article 4, Subsection 1. Full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. Now, they don't uphold that either. You know, you can't have something that is unconstitutional in one state and constitutional in another state. It doesn't make sense. We're beside ourselves. And it is clear on what the truth is. Well, let's take this one issue, and that is, let's say, the Second Amendment, the right to be able to bear arms. And let's say you get yourself a permit in your state, you know, because maybe your state requires it. But you go over to the next state over, you go over to Jersey, they find you with a weapon, and you get arrested. Pennsylvania, Texas, you know, California, you know, pretty much most of Florida may be one of the very few states that really you might have a chance of not a problem down there. But the point is that we're very confused. We don't even know from one state to another what the law is. But nevertheless, if it's on the law books here in New York, whatever I can do in New York according to the law, I could do in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Texas, California, or any place else I go. And I have all the rights and of the people in that state also. But again, we're beside ourselves with this. Article 5, okay, of the Constitution. They wrote an amendment on this, an unlawful amendment. It's called the 17th Amendment.
Well, let's get her mic open.
Hello.
Oops, hey, John, I'm wondering why you are showing something and you're talking to something else. Did you want to show the Constitution?
I'm just reading the Constitution. No, I had put this up here. You know, this is a paper that I had shared.
All right. My mistake. I'm sorry.
And anybody can download this paper here. It's on our front page, and they should. And they should be getting involved. They should be doing something to save this nation. You know, our founding fathers gave us a Republican form of government, and it was Benjamin Franklin that was asked. Everything was secret. They wouldn't talk. But finally, when they came to the conclusion of what kind of government we were going to have, Benjamin Franklin was asked, "What type of a government do we have?" And his answer was, a Republican form of government, if you can keep it. And the key word here, the key point here is if you can keep it. If you're not educated in understanding who we are as a people, if you don't know the Constitution, you don't know the Declaration of Independence, and you don't know your Bill of Rights, and if you don't know the common law, which is very simple, it's common sense, really, okay? If you don't know these things, and if you don't know the process and the procedures of the courts, because that's the things that you have to learn, and that's a pretty simple thing because that's all pretty logical also. You know, common sense and logic, hey, it's pretty simple. You know, if you go through the processes of the court and how all the court systems work, you'd find agreement with it. Point is they, you know, they really... They just change things around and do whatever they can to get their will across and not the people's will in the courts, and that's the problem. But, you know, we go to Article 5 here, and it says, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the key point is that no state, without its consent, shall be deprived of an equal suffrage in the Senate. Now, they changed that. They changed now, that meant that the states would pick the senators, two senators for every state, picked by the state. I presume there's a couple of different ways they could do it. The usual way of something like that in most states, I think, would have been or could be, that maybe the governor might put some people up for potential being a potential senator for the state. And then their congresses, you know, their houses would then make the decision and agree, probably the Senate, because that's what deals with the law. So the Senate would have to agree. They'd have to hear these people and agree, okay, yeah, we'll send this guy in to make, you know, national Senate, senator, a U.S. senator. But the state senators are the one that has to agree to that, okay? And you would imagine that the governor would be the one that put these people up for consideration. Okay, and generally that's the way it was, I believe, and it should be. But states, I guess, could figure out different ways to do that. But they had to have representation, and this is clear. This destroyed the entire balance of power in our Constitution. People need to think this out and realize the destruction that 17th Amendment did. And it was an impossibility to be done to begin with, because written in Article 5 is very clear, no state shall, without its consent, shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. And that's every state at all times. So, you know, again, and again, it's a destruction of the power, the balance of power, because the balance of power was to be shared between three branches of government to begin with. And, you know, we got the administration, of course. We've got, of course, the judicial. And then we have the two houses. And one of them, those houses, the people elect their representatives. And in the other house, the state was to send representatives. And their focus was mostly on judicial processes, but other things, too. They had to agree on certain bills. So you'd have to get an agreement on both houses to get bills passed. But there are some things, of course, the Senate was totally in charge of, like deciding on who's going to be, you know, a Supreme Court judge, justice. Congress doesn't have anything to do with that. That's the Senate's job and the Senate's job alone, and that belongs to the states. And we took that away from them. That destroyed the whole balance of power. Also, the problems, you know, the people is, I know U.S. versus Williams says that the people is kind of a type of a fourth branch. But no, the people are more than a fourth branch. We are the lawmakers. We are the sovereigns. We decide the law. They don't get to decide the law. We let them write law in equity. And equity is law upon the people who are working in commercial activity in the state. In the case of the federal, of course, it's interstate activity, commercial activity. And we want them to write laws, regulations, statutes to control these people. What you can do, what you can't do. Not restrict them, but protect the people from them, ultimately, because that's really the point. Okay? And equity is also written to control. Also, equity is legislative law, and in our nation we have what's called, it's called positive law, positive, our positive law is under the rules of common law, then they must conform to natural law. So if it's repugnant to natural law, repugnant to the Constitution, then the people can just nullify it. And that's how the courts are supposed to work. You know, first of all, the government has to come to the people to request an indictment on an individual. It's the people who indict, not the government. Although right now people don't know it, the government does indict. They indict all day long. They get their ham sandwich every time they go up for it. They never lose. They always get their indictment. Doesn't matter. People really don't get a choice because we're like sheep. We're sheeple and led because we have no knowledge. We don't understand our powers and authorities. When you go into those places, they just walk you around, you know, stick a ring in your nose and pull you around and tell you what to do, and you do it. And that's a problem. You know, and when people are indicted, then it's the people that are to decide the facts of the case, the law of the case, and the penalty of the case. But they've taken control of that, put that under statutes and different kinds of regulations, statutes particularly. Okay? So they're taking that from the people also. How come the people don't know this? Because they're not educated. They don't know the law. And we're not talking about anything complex. We're talking about simple logic, common sense, the law of the heart. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, etc. We know right from wrong. But they've taken control of that too. And the people continue and say and do nothing about it. Amendment 16. You know, they tried to make an amendment for income tax. And the Supreme Court has shot that down time after time after time, saying, you know, it doesn't change anything in the Constitution. It has nothing to do with people. It has to do ultimately with corporations, with fictions, not with the people. People are not fictions. So what did they do to fix that? In USC 26, they made people corporations. Whenever you see the word people, and especially when you see all those caps in your name, you're a corporation. They're dealing with you as a corporation. You know, when they come to take your income tax and they want the money, try to make the argument with them, hey, I'm a corporation. In order to keep this corporation going, this corporation needs to be housed, it needs to be fed, it needs to be, all kinds of things are necessary to keep this corporation going. And yet you can't write those things off. You know, so they're even beside themselves with that. But people don't even see the contradiction. It just goes on. And so, again, you know, we go to Article 3, Subsection 1. Okay, let me see if I can find that, Article 3, Subsection 1. Oop, I went too far. And this is a biggie. This is a real biggie. Article 3, Subsection 1. The judicial power of the United States... let me see if this is, make sure, yeah, it is, okay. Of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges both of the Supreme and the inferior courts, those are the federal courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior. Good behavior. Good behavior. How do you know if they're in good behavior or bad behavior? We're not being obedient to the Constitution or the law of the land. Okay, all these judges that are ignoring, for instance, the federal law, and they know the federal law rules over state law. Okay, they know that. And yet they don't care anyway. They break the law. Well, they should be removed for bad behavior. We got three United States Supreme Court justices up there that rule constantly outside the Constitution. I don't know where they come with half of the things that they come up with. You know, they're morons. I don't know any other word but to say that they're morons. And they may be smart. They may have gotten through school and got good grades, but they can't think. You know, getting good grades doesn't necessarily mean all as much as one might think. You have to be a thinker. And these people clearly are not thinkers, or they have an agenda, and therefore they're the enemy of the United States. They're the enemy of the Republic. Nevertheless, they're in bad behavior. They should be removed. And they're not being removed. They never get removed. Look at all the judges that broke the law to try to get Trump. And look at all of them that are breaking the law trying to stop him for all the things he's doing. These people should be removed. Now, I know, I think Trump has a plan for that one. I really hope he does. And hopefully that he understands that. I don't know that he does. I don't see any evidence of it, but that doesn't mean he doesn't understand it. It may be something that just the people aren't ready for that kind of a move yet. You know, he looks like a dictator. He's got to do things a little slower. But the problem is, once he sets this republic back to where it belongs, and hopefully we'll end up with courts of justice, and again, that's the battle that you know, National Liberty Alliance is mostly working on, educating the people and bringing back courts of justice, because we don't have courts of justice. For those who have never been in the courts, you have no clue on how seriously bad it is. I've been in court where I was told to shut up and can't talk about the Constitution. Can you believe that? Just think about that. Okay? you bring up things of lore, and they go totally opposite because they maintain the status quo. They got to keep themselves in power. They got to protect each other. It's the good old boys club. People have no clue on how serious and how bad it is. And how can they? They don't have an education. They don't know or understand these things. They don't have a clue. And I'll tell you what, most people in office, I don't think, have a clue. Anybody that is in power and authority in any office, it should be required of them to have studied, first of all, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, of course, and the Declaration of Independence. They should know that inside and out. But they should know the Federalist Papers, they should know the Anti-Federalist Papers, they should understand the debates and the arguments that took place, and understanding the powers and authorities that they do have that they cannot go beyond, that they go beyond anyway. Unless the people start to do something to take care of this, we don't deserve liberty if we're not working to save it and keep it. We don't deserve liberty if we're not teaching our children to honor it and to understand that no nation in the world has ever been given what we have been given, that no people has ever had the opportunity to have the liberty that we the people have, even though they've squashed a lot of our liberty, and mostly you don't really know too much about it until you get into the courts, then you got a problem, and they've moved us. They moved us by rule. First of all, the United States legislators had no power, no authority to create new power and then pass that power over to the judiciary. And that judiciary has moved from the federal courts down to the state courts, into the county courts, into the town courts, the village courts. Every court in America has fallen under this kind of a destruction of justice, okay, because they abrogated the law of the land. They got rid of the Constitution. People have no clue. They don't understand what the Rules Enabling Act did. And that was what empowered the Supreme Court to write rules. And boy, did they write rules. You know, there are, I think it's six. Let me think. I think six. There are six power writs for the sovereign. Six writs of the sovereign. That any sovereign can use those writs and bring them up in a courtroom and demand a response to it. Well, they didn't like that, so they wrote a rule to get rid of that. They don't like the fact that we're under natural law, that the people get to decide, that they can decide what the law is in a courtroom. They can nullify a law. They can reject a lot of things. They didn't like that, so they got rid of that. I mean, I don't know if there's a jury out there that has not been stacked, and this has been going on for over 100 years. Juries are stacked. Grand juries are stacked. They get their ham sandwich. They protect the status quo. The people suffer. Your children become enslaved. And it becomes worse and worse as time goes on if we don't fix it. And I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again. Trump and his administration can fix all the problems we have, every single one of them. But you can't keep it because you don't know the law. And if you don't know the law, obviously you just can't keep it. You don't know when they're obeying the law and when they're not obeying the law. Congress has 18 powers. I don't think I'm going to get into that. Let me see what the queue looks like for a minute. Hang on a second. See if anyone. Okay, we do have people in the queue. If we run out of people in the queue, maybe we'll come back and we'll talk about those 18 powers. And anything that is not in those 18 powers, they have no power or authority to empower anything. They certainly can't create new powers, but they do. Because the people are ignorant. They don't know. People need to get into the committees of safety. They need to learn how to create a committee of safety. We teach that under Start a Committee of Safety right here. Just click on that tab and follow the breadcrumb trails. No, I'm not signed in. All right, let me move this over so I can sign in. Hang on a second. Okay, I'm in. I bring that back. Nope, shouldn't be on that one there. All right, I'm in. Okay. Underneath Starter Committee of Safety, all you have to do is click on Starter Committee of Safety, okay, and just follow the plan. Get active in your county. If people can't find it in themselves to give up 2 or 3 hours a month to take control of their government, then they don't deserve what the Constitution gives you. Actually, what God has given us, because you see, we made a covenant with God. The Declaration of Independence is a covenant with God, and only He can break it. No man can break that. We have liberty from God. They're unalienable rights, and again, they're not going to protect themselves. Only the people can protect it. Your children are being demoralized, destroyed. And actually, most people are participating in that destruction, too, because we give them phones, these smartphones. They're not old enough to have these phones. They're not old enough to be onto the Internet doing the things they're doing. Yeah, they should learn how to use the Internet. They should, but under some kind of supervision. They should learn, of course, how to use a computer, and you know, because there's a lot of great things you could do with a computer. They should learn all those things. But to give them free roam and realm over this thing, it's destroying them. And you'd have to decide how old they, maybe someone at 16, maybe they're old enough, maybe it's 14, maybe you'd say, I don't know. That's the family has to decide, but I don't think they're even thinking about it, because they're lost on the same problems that our children are lost on, you know. We have an obesity problem in the United States here, because children don't do anything, don't exercise. I don't even know if they have gym anymore, okay. They sit down and eat sugar and carbohydrates all day long as they play on the stupid computer. And we let them do it. So we're participating with this. You know, I thank God we controlled our children from the Internet and all this stuff. They use it now. They use it appropriately. But most people are not doing that. They haven't thought about it, I guess. You know, we're lost. America's lost. And only the people can fix it. Only the people can bring it back. Only the people can secure it. They're destroying your children in school and your grandchildren. They're destroying them. They're demoralizing them. And we're not doing anything about it. Committees of Safety will teach you how you can take control of every school district in your county. And it's your duty to do so. So people need to do that. They need to join or start a Committee of Safety in their county. You know, if people only understood the power that they have, but they don't exercise it, and they can't exercise it because they don't know how to exercise it. They think the only thing they have to do is go to the voting machine every year or two, and that's it. Don't need to do nothing else. Done my duty. So you just got the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left, whichever one you voted for, I don't know. Every once in a while you get a good person, and they get destroyed or assassinated, and we just keep moving on. Just keep moving on. So, only the people can save the republic. You need an education. Education starts right here. Click on the tab, Education Starts Here, and follow the process. We have so many courses there that you just have to be a member. You sign up, you become a member, and most of our courses are free. You just take them. We have a constitutional course, we have a civics course, and the civics course is a real powerful course because it shows you how we got to where we are and how this nation got destroyed. And everybody should be taking that course. And we have constitutional course 101. And we have a bunch of other courses. We do have a couple of courses that we require people to be premier members. A premier member is someone given $5 a month or more. I think that's reasonable. It's a cup of coffee and a donut or a roll and butter or whatever once a month. Just give up a donut and a coffee once a month and participating, helping us to save our courts. But most people don't do that either. You know, we got very, very few people who are supporting us and keeping the lights on over here. Yet we have a pretty big membership. We got over 10,000 people, and yet, you know, I don't know. I'd like to know why people don't support these things, get an education, start a committee of safety, and teach our children to do the same. They should be growing up and understanding in school. They should be saying the Pledge of Allegiance in school. They should be learning about who we are as a people, that we're a Christian nation. The Bible needs to get back into the schools so that we can learn the doctrines of Jesus Christ, because the doctrines of Jesus Christ is the law of the land. It's the laws of nature, and of nature's God, and the God of the Bible is the Creator. He's nature's God. And the king's bench, we don't want a man to be the king. You know, the trial jury, which is also called the petit jury, the trial jury, they're the king's bench. So they're supposed to represent the will of the king. And who's the king in our natural law republic but God himself, the creator of this universe, Jesus Christ, the doctrines of God? They threw that out of school, too. I mean, they didn't have the power authority to do that either. So education is the key here. Get an education. And if you can't afford the $5, just let Jan know, and we'll let you in for free anyway, because it's more important that you have an education. Very few people cannot afford $5 a month or more. Very, very few. But we will let them in. You tell us you can't afford it, we'll let you in. If you're a sheriff, or if you're a law enforcer, you know, a deputy, and you sign up, we let you in for free. And we also let them in for free in our, our other court access in the common law course. Okay, now this is a very important course. This is, let me just read this. This course was recorded, I don't know what I want to read there. Let me see where I wanted to read from. Well, let me go back to the front page and then come back here. Hang on a second. Okay, if you want to join into this course, you just click here and you go to that page. I'll go there in a minute. Click here to sign up to our comprehensive 90-hour law course on civil procedure from the common law perspective. Of course, this works criminally, too. And we charge $125 for that. A college course on civil procedure is 5 credits. It's 50 to 60-hour class hours, costing about $2,600 per credit. So it brings about 30, how much is that? What'd they say, 5 credits? Yes. So we're looking at quite a bit of money. What's that, $30,000? $2,600 times 5, 300, 10, 12 to $13,000. That's what a course like this to learn. What they're going to teach is the procedure and the process in the courts. That's what they're going to teach you. They'll give you some instructions, of course, on how to write papers and examples. The best way to learn how to write papers is to read court cases, Supreme Court cases. That's what I read, Supreme Court cases. And we have quite a few of them that we've put up on our website that you can go through and read. And we've written a lot of papers, a lot of memorandums. It's all an education. It's all free education. Right under federal court cases, you go under there and you'll read all kinds of different cases and information. You can cut and paste everything out of that and build your own case accordingly to your whatever the case that you need to deal with is. But anyway, so it costs about $2,600 per credit, which covers litigation, rules, lawsuits, filings, pleadings, discovery, motions, trials, and appeals. That's what we cover. That's what they cover. Our course is 90 hours. Your heritage is in the law, and your inheritance is liberty. So if you don't know the law, you won't know your liberty, and you won't be able to protect your liberty. You won't even be able to protect the Constitution because you don't know how. So anyway, you can start your education right here. You know, I strongly suggest everybody take the court. You should be taking care of your own court cases. You shouldn't have to go pay some lawyer thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and forget about it. If you got to go into the federal courts, you have any idea? They're not even going to touch you unless you come up with $50,000 or $100,000 to go into the federal court system. And especially to go up the ladder, you'll need $1 million to go all the way up the ladder to the Supreme Court. I mean, none of these people are worth that kind of money. I don't care how good a lawyer they are. But we're suckers. We're sheeple. We fall for all this stuff. We're ignorant to the law. You know, we may be smart in a lot of things, and we may even be thinkers. But for some reason, it's like, you pick up, the law, and people, they got to go find a lawyer. They just can't deal with it. You know, you got to deal with God, and they got to go find themselves a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, or somebody, because they just can't deal with it. So all those things are good, but you need to take care of your own business. And it's not, it's pretty wise. You go into the courtroom and you take care of your own business. You can hire a lawyer to come in and participate and assist you in a few places and things where you're not sure on how things work, and you can have a lawyer talk. But you have to really control that lawyer. You have to control your own court case. Because once you don't do that, you've lost your case. If it's up against the status quo, you lost your case. Because they will uphold the status quo with the judge. Anyway, I guess we'll go to the questions now. We do have a few people in the queue. If anybody else wants to get a queue, it's *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. And there's a button there if you're on an app or browser. Sulu, you got the mic first. Let me hit the button here. You've been unmuted. Go right ahead, Sulu. How you doing?
Good evening, John. Thank you. I'm doing good. Thank you. Appreciate what you're doing. We are lost without you. So, but I have a question about one of the sister that that I have in Leavenworth, Kansas. She's been in one of those homes. One of the girl owned a couple of homes that, she accommodate a lot, like four or five women in there. Some of them, they're on drugs, and they try and recuperate. But one of my sister, her name is Vicky, she's homeless, and so she was, with them, but paying, she was paying the rent. But here's the problem that the owner of the place, she allowed women that come in, to make problems for her. And now she's trying to send her out. She's trying to send her to a different place. But, when she left out of there, go to the place she told her to go, the keys that she gave her was the wrong key, and she couldn't get in the house. And so she was going back and forth with that. And also, the question that I have, it was she wanted to go through her, everything that she had, her clothes and everything that she, she moving out of there. So my question, she doesn't have the right to do that.
Is she in some kind of an institution or some kind of a rehab? Nursing home?
She's not. She's just, when she lost her apartment because she was sick. And so she's just been trying to find a place where she can stay. She knows the Lord. And the girl's been making problems for her every time for a couple of years now. And the owner, the one that...
Who is it that's making problems for her?
Yeah, well, they turn, they dirty up a lot of things in the house and plan thing and blame it on her and call because they want her out of there.
Is this like a group home? Is this a group home? I'm confused still. I don't really understand the picture. Is this a group home, or just she's got a...
Yes, is the women, you know, women, those that been in drugs or prisons, and, you know, but the girl that I'm talking about, she's never been in prison. She's she just lost her apartment about 5 years ago, and so she's been trying to get a place of her own, but she can't afford it. So she's been in that home for, you know, for almost 3 years now. But the girls
down to social service.
No, it's not. It's not through the social service. It's through a private.
Has she gone to social services?
No, she has not.
She should go down there because social services, it will not only set her up in a temporary place to live, usually a hotel somewhere, and then she can try to find a place. And once she finds a place, they will assist her in getting that place going. But does she have any kind of an income? Is she on Social Security? Is she going to work? Is she working? Can she work?
Yeah, she's been working part-time work. And then she also tried, I don't know if she got her Social Security yet, but she just turned 65. So I don't think she'll get it, but probably for a couple of years or so.
Oh, no. Once you hit 65, it takes only 2-3 months and they pop you right on.
Once you hit the age,
as a matter of fact, I believe it's 64. Actually, you can apply at 64. Maybe even 63 now, but 64. But 65, if she's hit 65, definitely. But even 64, just a couple of months to get it in. She should be able to get Medicare, Medicaid on that. She should be able to go down to social services to get the Medicaid. Medicare will come with the Social Security. I don't know, will she just be getting the minimum Social Security, or has she put a lot into work that she'd be getting, you know, you can get as much as I think about $3,000 or as little as $1,100.
Yeah, okay. She actually been working most of her life since I've known her.
She might be able to get a pretty decent size amount. Maybe she can get $2,000, $2,500. Maybe she'll even hit for the high end.
Okay, I'll ask because she was applying for that, I would say, about a couple months ago. So I haven't
This is what she needs to do, okay?
Okay.
If you're going down to social services, they can probably even assist her, maybe, I would think anyway, in also in making sure she gets Social Security. And she should go down to the Social Security Department, wherever it's at in her location, and make things moving along and ask them, you know, when am I going to be able to get my first check? Now, remember, when you apply for Social Security, if it's 3 or 4 months before you get it, then they give you all that back pay. So you get it all from the time you turn
60.
That's number one. Number two, go to social services. They will assist her, and even more so assist her while she's waiting for her Social Security money to come through. Now, they will give her a temporary place to live, and usually, like I said, usually a hotel somewhere. Then she can get food stamps, she can get Medicaid, because she's over 65, she get Medicaid anyway, automatically, okay? And once she finds an apartment, they will put up the necessary monies to be able to move her into that apartment. There's other programs, and if they ask in social services, they'll tell them other programs help them with clothes and different things to get people up on their feet and going. You know, all this stuff is supposed to be for us, for the people. Unfortunately, a lot of this money goes to the Somalis and other groups. They've been ripping us off, and also we've been paying money to destroy this nation, all kinds of different things. But it's really, and Trump's working on that, of course. But the thing is, these programs are there for us, to protect us, to get us back up onto our feet, to get us going. And that's what we should do. Also, what's very, very important, okay, when you go onto Social Security, they will take some money out, a couple of $100, maybe $300, I don't know, for the Medicare, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what you should do is tell them, I can't afford Medicare, I'll just live without it. And they'll say, no, we'll give it to you anyway, you get it for free. But they try to make money if they can, okay?
Okay.
I don't know why they do that. But anyway, Medicaid and Medicare, no problem, should get, and the food stamps, and like I said, assistance. And that's what I would suggest for her to do. Being in a group home, if she doesn't have particular problems, that could be problematic for her also, because she's in there with people that have drug problems, maybe psychological problems, and strange things, and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you what, if she went down to social services tomorrow morning, by the end of the day, she'd be in a hotel room.
Okay. I will definitely let her know, and you know, because she's been going in and out, you know, for the longest. And the lady that is doing that, I know she's getting funds from the government to support that. So, but she's not doing, you know, a good job in treating people fairly.
She should get out of that environment, get into her own environment, create her own life, and move on. That's what she should do. She doesn't have any, she's not slow or has any mental problems or drug problems or anything like that, does she?
No.
Well, then she should really get away from that environment, you know?
Yeah, she's just kind of sick a lot, but because of some, you know, between her and her husband, some in the past, I guess. So she's still dealing with some kind of mental, you know, thing she went through with her husband. But, you know, other than that, she's cool.
She could get more help. Now, there is an organization, I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's everywhere, really. It's, let me think.
Is that Chapter?
You know, there's mental health. Okay. If she goes down to social services to get assistance there and work her way through Social Security, if you go down there and you ask them for the mental health organization, I forget the name of it, but it does have the word mental health in it. And what happens is they deal with people that are going through stressful times in their life, trying to get themselves up and going. They help the system with psychological assistance. They help, and they got all kinds of different programs that help people to get back onto their feet. They'll give you certificates to go out. Maybe if you need, for instance, plates and utensils and pots and pans, they'll give you the certificate, and you go to a place and you can get all those things. The same thing with clothes. All kinds of things. They will help people to get up on their feet.
Okay.
She's up on her feet and she's controlling her own life, and she's got her income coming in from Social Security eventually. She'll be in charge of her own life.
I will definitely let her know.
With the mental help also, the psychological help that she may need, psychiatrist or psychiatrist together in groups. I mean, they do all this stuff. I know people that are in these particular programs, and they work very well to get people back up and going and back into society.
Okay. And I was going to tell you, I was the one that sent those questions in for my son-in-law, and I told him that I will help him with the affidavit. You know, they can just do the affidavit and take it in the file in the court instead of show up.
I didn't understand what really was going on with there. Whose name was being changed for what? I mean, I don't understand.
It's actually his son. His son, the last name for the son to change into her last name instead of the father.
It's his biological son, right?
Yes.
And the mother of his wife or someone had a relationship with his mother is the biological mother, and the biological mother wants him to take his name off of the birth certificate and put her maiden name on. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. He doesn't have to comply to that, and there's no way. I can't believe there's any way they can force that to happen.
Yeah, that's what he was, he's going to, he said he was going to go to the court on the 4th.
Did he get a summons? Was he summoned to court? Or does she just want him to go to court?
Well, they serve the paperwork to him, but I don't think it's a summons.
Hold on. If the paperwork was served and it was served, and again, you see, this is where ignorance to the law comes to play if people don't understand. The summons has a proper summons the way it has to have a cover sheet, has to have a summons, has to have a date and time, and that you were ordered to be here, and so on and so forth to answer. So all he's got to do is go in there and say, well, you know, I don't have any lawyer to assist me at the moment, but the bottom line is, I'm the biological father. I don't give permission for it to be changed for any purposes. And he's been paying child support all his life. Okay.
Yes.
And what does the child want? What's the child, 17, 18 now?
17. Mm-hmm.
And what does the child want? What does he want?
Well, I believe the mom talked him into it to do that, but he's still underage. So to me, I don't think he has to be anything.
Anyway, look, I don't believe there's any way in the world
Any
can make a change on a biological parents of a child.
Exactly.
Certificate of birth. I don't believe that that's possible. Now, the only thing I could tell you is that if they try to push things along, then, you know, obviously he doesn't know the law. I don't know how much that you're able to help him in the law, but he needs someone to represent him because he's unable to represent himself. I mean, if he could put it on hold for 6 months to a year and come study and learn and then go back and take care of business, that's a different story, but that's not going to happen. Okay?
Yeah.
So all he has to do in there is saying denied. No, that's my son. You know, I'm the biological father, and that's who he is, and that's where it's going to stand. Now, if they try to start to push things past that to make the argument, he's going to say, well, look, I don't have a lawyer. I got to go find one. And if you can't afford a lawyer, then, I don't think I don't think they'll be able to, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
Whether a lawyer or not, so.
Well, so they had a lawyer, she has a lawyer, and that's the one that they got to serve, you know, to serve the paper to him, so.
That's the best info I can give you on that, and let us know how that turns out. When's he going?
Okay.
When?
The 4th. He said the 4th of the next month, but okay. I think he should have something filed before you go in because it
How are you with research?
How do I research?
No, how are you with research? Can you research, do well in researching?
Yes, sir.
I would start researching, and I'll tell you what, okay?
Okay.
I use Grok. No, Grok is status quo. There are certain things, no matter what you do, Grok is not going to acknowledge God in our nation. Grok is not going. There's a lot of things that Grok is not going to acknowledge, and so that's fine. You know, I understand when you're up against the status quo, Grok's not going to help you. But if you're going in, you go and use Grok, for instance, and you ask Grok on what the law is concerning, you know, if someone, you know, did your case. Right here, you can write 2, 3, 4 sentences asking the question: Can anyone change this if the biological father doesn't agree to it, so on and so forth? And Grok will give you some good answers. And at the end of the answers, they'll give you some other questions that might help you to dig deeper, or you can ask more questions. Whatever the answer is, they say, "Oh, expound a little more on that," or "Expound a little more on this." They'll get you everything, the law and everything. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
They're not looking for conclusions or anything that's going up against the status quo. You're just looking for the law concerning a birth certificate and a biological parent who refuses or does not want to remove his name from the paperwork, and that's that.
Right. Okay. All right. I appreciate it, John. Thank you so much.
Let it turns out. I'd like to hear.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks for the call. We'll take our next caller. It looks like it may be Kathy. You've been unmuted. Looks like 415 area code. First name, state. Is that Kathy?
Kathy.
Okay, what state are you from, Kathy?
I'm from California right now.
Okay, Kathy. Oh, you sounds like you're ready to move, huh?
Oh, I've had it with California. I wanted to first bring everybody's attention to the case of Moore versus United States with regard to income tax.
Okay.
I don't know. Are you familiar with this case? It came out June 20th, 2024.
Well, that's a pretty recent case. I'm not sure. No.
And it pretty much settled the income tax. It clarified income tax on page 2. It's a very, very long, opinion. It's 83 pages long. But the only thing you really need to pay attention to is on page 2, the second paragraph, it's subheading A. It reads, Article 1 of the Constitution affords Congress broad power to lay and collect taxes. That power includes direct taxes, those imposed on persons or property, and indirect taxes, those imposed on activities or transactions. Direct taxes must be apportioned among the states according to each state's population, while indirect taxes are permitted without apportionment but must be uniform throughout the United States. Section 8, Clause 1, taxes on income are indirect taxes, and the 16th Amendment confirms that taxes on income need not be apportioned. And then if you go back to the prior
section. That sounded like they just contradicted themselves.
Well, I know. I thought that too until I put the sentences in their proper order. So they're saying that taxes on income are indirect taxes, and the 16th Amendment confirms that taxes on income need not be apportioned.
What court made this decision? Is this a state appellate court, or what is it?
No, it's the United States Supreme Court, and it was quashed in the press.
I find this very, very hard to believe. And you
yes.
talk about the United States Supreme Court. What's the name
yes.
of this court?
It's called Moore, M-O-O-R-E, versus United States. It's the second paragraph of page 2. Now, if we break it down, it says direct taxes must be apportioned among the states according to each state's population. That would require a census if it was direct taxes, and that has never happened. So even if they declared it direct taxes, it would be illegal. So now let's look at the indirect taxes.
Hold on. But the United States Supreme Court on many – they'd have to overturn other cases. And that has not been done, and this is.
I know, but this is the most recent, and if you read it, so that did away with direct taxes. So now it's. Well,
yeah, you have to understand the difference between a direct tax and an indirect tax.
Right.
Direct tax is, for instance, when they tax something that you can't escape.
Right.
Okay, not participate with, and they tax you, then that's a tax that's unlawful. Okay, in other words, sales tax. You avoid sales tax by not buying it. Okay, by not buying an item, you can avoid sales tax on different things. You can
Correct.
Avoid taxes, but when it comes to income tax, if you can't avoid it, then it's unlawful.
I think they're clarifying it that you can avoid it by just not working, because they also say indirect taxes, those imposed on activities or transactions. They clarified how they defined indirect taxes.
What justices agreed or disagreed with this?
Let me go down to the bottom. Hold on. Where is it?
John, I've got bad ring around tonight.
You got what?
Bad ring around. I hear at least two of you and our guest speaker.
All right, well, let me mute my mic. Maybe that'll help. Actually, I'm on a headset, so there shouldn't be anything going back.
Okay, it looks like Thomas dissented.
Where is this? Let me see who else.
And this is 2024, right?
Yeah, June 20th, 2024. I don't think it's officially been published as far as getting the full site, but that's the actual day of the decision.
2024.
Yeah, 24, yes. Let me see if anybody else dissented.
Right, second page, second paragraph is what you were reading. Article 1 of the Constitution affords Congress broad power to lay and collect taxes. That power includes direct taxes. You know, but direct taxes, you got to understand, you know, the only way they can collect a direct tax, and you read part of it, but just to give a little more insight to it, they have to do it, as you mentioned, they have to do it across the entire nation, every state, and they have to decide how much per person they want to collect the tax on, okay? And in that process, it's up to the state to figure out those numbers and pay that and find a way to get the money.
Yes.
Okay? So that you are not held liable to that tax directly. Okay? That's
right.
Now, it sounded like they went beside themselves a little later on. Where did you read the other part?
Well, if you keep going, okay, they basically say both of the income taxes, whether it's classified as direct or indirect, both of them are illegal. And so if you, let's isolate the indirect taxes, it says indirect taxes are permitted without apportionment, but must be uniform throughout the United States. And they're not.
Well,
Oregon.
Well, that's exactly the point that I just made on how it should be done. So we understand that. And that's not being done either. So
it doesn't matter how you classify it. Either classification would make it illegal.
But it sounded like they came to a conclusion that they permitted the collection of income tax.
No. What they did is they chopped off the sentence. And if you take the sentence before it that clarifies that indirect taxes are permitted without apportionment, that sentence continues and says, but must be uniform throughout the United States. They chopped that last part off.
You said Thomas dissented from this? Or?
Yes, Thomas dissented. Let me see if I didn't see any other dissension, but there might be. I mean, I'm working on a very slow computer, and it's 83 pages long, so I'm trying to go down slowly. But I thought it was interesting. It just knocked out both direct and indirect. So that was the first point I was going to make.
Yeah, Thomas writes for the dissenting, it looks like.
Right. Let me see if anybody else was with him. With whom Gorsuch joins. Okay. So Gorsuch and Thomas.
All right, I'll have to take a look at this case myself. It's interesting. I'd like to really get a better understanding and see what the apparent
contradiction there is. And on that note, I wanted to make another point. This is one of the reasons why I'm out of California. But to make a long story short, the Franchise Tax Board had served my employer, an international law firm, with a purported order of garnishment of my wages. It was based on a fraudulent filing, just without getting into all the fraud. But I had read the documents that they claimed was in order to levy against my wages.
Did you count the sue?
That's what I'm getting at. Yes, I sued them back, and well, it cost me my job because I showed my employer, look, even the Franchise Tax Board is fraudulent. These documents are not, this doesn't constitute an order. They have no power with these papers to garnish my wages. There's no levy in place. And then I sued them, and the court clerk or the clerk deleted my case from the record. So I went to the Court of Appeal.
What was the reason for deleting your case?
I requested a fee waiver. And they said, you must pay it, the fee waiver within 10 days or disclose your financial...
They look at what you do is you write your case, okay, and in that process with the case, that's where you want to add the papers in concerning a waiver, okay?
I did.
Well, I don't understand because, you see, that's supposed to go through a process of a decision by a judge on whether
right.
they're going to allow it to go through or not. And that could go pretty quickly. If it's a status quo case, okay, you know what I mean when a status
yeah.
quo case, I guess, okay. If it's a status quo case, then they're going to take their time on it and they're probably going to try everything they can to kick you out. Okay, but if it's not a case going up against the establishment and it's, usually it moves pretty quickly, weeks maybe.
Well,
should have been able to throw anything out.
Well, I mean, coming back full circle, I did get the order from the judge halting the garnishments, and then the court clerk had voided my case. So I filed an appeal. A writ of mandate, mandating that they resurrect my case, and it was just denied. It's like, okay.
It's a writ of mandamus, I think you mean, right?
Yes, writ of mandate, but they denied
but
without...
Just so you know, they abrogated that. I don't know if the state courts know that yet, but they've abrogated those writs. In the federal rules of procedure, they've abrogated the writs of the sovereign.
Yeah, everything they did was illegal. And
again, we deserve everything we get because we refuse to take charge of our household. And our nation is our household. We need to take charge of it. And if we don't take charge on this, then it's going to be out of order. You know, if you ignore your own house where you physically live and you don't care for it, you don't organize it, you don't maintain it, then you lose it, okay? Well, that's what we've done. We've lost it.
Well, wait a minute. I don't think it's a lost cause. I mean, there are groups out there. I just participated in a are you familiar with Toll and Roll?
Who?
Toll and Roll?
No.
Okay. They held a common law jury trial exposing the fraudulent government operations very recently.
What court did they do this in?
I don't know. I believe it involved the Department of Government Efficiency. There was some sort of a claim.
If you can look into that and get back to us maybe next week to give us that info, I'd be interested in looking into that.
Right. And they're focusing not on the problems. They're focusing only on the solution because the problems just create confusion. And the solution is to present what is wrong with the government agencies and how they need to fix it. And
that is exposing them, too.
Right.
You have to find the problem and then the solution, which is what we
correct.
Do here. And look ahead.
And we, the people, are in charge. I mean, the governments are not in charge. We are. So it's making a demand that it be corrected.
I'd like to know what court that went into. Give me whatever information you can, and maybe I can look at it, look for more information once I get some information on it. And then maybe I'd like to take a look at that. But here's the problem. The solution is not going to be one court case. That's not the solution.
No, it's not.
It's the only solution is a presentment to the United States Supreme Court exposing the fraud and the tyranny of the federal courts and how every state court has followed suit with the same and how they abrogated the law of the land. They abrogated the rights of the sovereign. They've abrogated our rights of the Constitution, you know, written in the Constitution itself, our unalienable rights. They've abrogated all of it. It's all gone.
That's correct.
Not there. And people think it's there. But until you get into court, it's not there. And the only way that that's going to be fixed is for the people to rise up. Now, look, we don't have government by majority. We have a government by the majority that participates. So when you understand that there's very few group of people, really, that control these political parties, you just have to match that number. And that number might be something like, let's say, let me just pull my calculator out real quick. Let's say you get 20 people per county. There's 3,000 and change counties, so we'll just say 3,000, and we'll say times 25 people. That's 75,000 people. I'd double that, and that's 150,000 people. We can take this nation back. We can bring our courts back to courts of justice. We can do it. But without that, you're not going to do anything. It has to be organized. The people have to have the proper education. They all have to be doing the same thing, making the same battles within their counties, working their way up. But
that's
if people
correct.
Don't want to do that, then it, and we're the only ones that I know of that are out there trying to put that together. Okay.
There are a few other groups, but you've been very, very good at advocating on behalf of the people.
Well, I know that there are some groups, and there's one group out there that will not work with other groups. We'll work with anybody. You know, sometimes people are doing different things than we're doing, but we support them. You know, we the people is one organization. You know, we have also the Republic Review. They're doing something that we're not doing, but it's a very powerful thing and a necessary thing to be done, which is reviewing the Republic, the law of the Republic, as far as federal statutes are concerned, and finding the corrections. So that's something some other group is doing. But what we're doing is getting the people on the grassroots level to create committees, which is what our founding fathers did. They worked through, they created this nation through committees of safety. They maintained control of this nation through the committees of safety. The committees of safety is the process by which we control our government. That's how we have government by consent of the people. There's no other way. And then we've been robbed of that. They've taken it away from us. And if the people don't step up to take that back, working in their counties, working for, you know, we teach first order business really is taking our schools back and supporting the work of National Liberty Alliance to take our courts back and to work together with us to take those courts back. So those are the first two major things to be done. But also, you have to take control of every government within inside your county, whether it's town, village, city, every government in your county you have to take control of. And then you have to take control of your state, and then you take control of the nation, as every state is doing the same thing. And
Correct. That's
why we structured everything together so that people can work with other states, with other counties. And that's where the power is with the people, okay? And unless you're doing that, you can't maintain a republic. Like I said, what Benjamin Franklin said, I talked about this at the beginning tonight, it's a republic if you can keep it.
Correct.
If you're not interested in keeping it, you can't keep it. If you think you could be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and never will be. And that's what Thomas Jefferson said. So,
We have to also stop the foreign lobbyists. I mean, our country's for sale when we do
that.
Stop
all lobbyists.
Exactly. Thank you.
Look, George Washington was very clear. I listen to people talk. They're talking. I don't know where they're getting this. They're just talking. That's all they're doing. They can't back up what they're saying. Oh, we can't survive without at least a two-party system. We don't need a three, but we have to have that two-party system. Well, that's what destroyed us, is that two-party
system. Yeah, get rid of the parties. Let me know what you're about.
Exactly what Washington said. Look, if there are no parties and you elect someone and they don't have a party boss, or anybody put stress or pressure on you, you're going to come and represent your constituents because that's your job. And if these constituents understood that he's not doing that and not doing his job, well, let's just take him out of office. You can remove anyone out of office within 90 days. It's called a recall. It takes 90 days through the process. Very simple. We teach that. Okay? But you go learn, start a committee of safety. We teach all those things in that section. And we teach the education you need, and education starts here. Those are the two most important what do you call it, tabs, right here. Education starts here, and over here, Starter Committee of Safety. The most important tabs right here, these two tabs.
Right.
And so that's what people have to do. And if they refuse to do it, then we don't deserve liberty. We don't deserve what we have. Who are we to think that we should have something and not work and protect it? What, are we going to expect them to work and protect it? They don't even know the Constitution. I remember when Biden was talking, and he was talking about the Constitution, and he didn't even know what he was talking. He said, you know the thing. Okay, none of these people know. They don't know that we're a republic. They don't even know what a republic is. They don't know that we're a natural law republic under the laws of nature and nature's God. You know, we pledge allegiance to the flag, you know, and it's to the nation, one nation under God, indivisible. Okay, you can't separate the two. And if you do, then you're governed by man. We don't want to be governed by man. We want to be governed by God.
Correct.
And our fathers found a way to do that, but we've lost the prescription because the people refuse to take the pill. And if they refuse to take the pill, and look, if the people take the pill and do what they have to do, at least enough of them do it, then we can make sure our children get a proper education and they will grow up knowing they have a duty to protect this Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the things that we've been given and been blessed with. They have a duty to be involved and give 3 to 4 hours a month to the Committee of Safety to work to maintain it. They have a duty to understand what these people are doing that we elected. When they're breaking the law by not obeying the Constitution, we need to remove them from office. We do recalls. Very simple. We can recall anybody. We can recall a governor. I think the only one we can't recall would be the president. But maybe there is a way to do that too. But I that might be a little difficult. But we can recall a governor. We can recall a representative. We can recall anyone. We can get rid of a town board in literally in a few days, okay? With a writ quo warranto, we teach people how to do that too.
Wait a minute. Wait. We tried that in California, and there is a gatekeeper. The Attorney General of California is the only one that can approve the filing of a writ quo warranto. It's totally illegal, but he's the gatekeeper.
That's a denial of due process. You could take that.
I know that. And
you might be able to win in federal court, but we have to take the courts back. We have to. That's why we're starting at the top. We've gone through the federal court system, and we realize that we're not getting any justice, that they've all are guilty of subversion to the Constitution, the subversion of the people. They subverted it. They've subverted our Constitution. And so we have to fix this problem, but only the people can do it.
Maybe we can prepare legal paperwork at a grassroots level for each of the committees of safety to act upon.
Well, that's not a way we can do it. What we did is we organized grand juries in every single state, okay? We went through and we got grand juries agreeing and coming together in the counties and agreeing to it on a state level. So every state has a unified state common law grand jury. All 50 states, all of them, we've came together with, and all of them formed the unified state common law grand jury, and they came together and we formed the unified United States common law grand jury. And that's what we're doing, is working through it. That's the process we work through. Now, we need the people on the grassroots level supporting the work we're doing, getting out the information that we're doing, getting this information onto X and getting the discussions going in different places, the social medias, getting it onto the platforms that a lot of these people have out there, reporting the news or giving interviews and things of that nature, getting us onto the interviews. They need to get out to work to get us out there, to get the word out there. They need to get the word out there. They need to financially support us so we can file the papers we need to file. And that's what we need to do. Meanwhile, the committees of safety need to be educating. You see, you can't really give or expect anyone to create a grand jury or to create a state grand jury. And again, remember, a grand jury doesn't sit forever. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury has one purpose, and it is to solve the court problem and to bring us back to courts of justice again. And once we accomplish that goal, then we have to disperse. Because, you know, this is the purpose we created for this purpose. You
right.
can't grand jury just sitting forever and making all these decisions. We have one focus and one focus only, and that's to save our court system, to save the republic, okay? And but if you can't have people going into the courts that don't know what they're doing, that they haven't got any experience, and they haven't learned the law, they haven't learned the procedure, the process, it's a lot to learn. And we encourage
right.
people to learn those things and to take our course and be able to go into the courts. And if we could see somebody that has abilities and understands the problems and the process and the procedures, then of course we want them to work with us as best we can together. But we have to stay focused, you know.
Maybe it's the other one.
Right on it, we can stay focused. So.
Thank
right.
you.
Anything
Good.
Else?
That's it for me. Thank you.
John?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to introduce you to Kathy. Kathy, I'd like to introduce you to John. Have
Hi,
you
John.
Guys talking before now?
How you doing, Kathy?
I've called in before, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
I know you spoke to a couple of people that were interested in doing work with us over the week last
week. Yes.
Is this Kathy you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, well, we need to get together. Maybe set us up on a Thursday or something. Let me know, and we'll come together and talk.
Okay.
And right. anybody else that has anything that they have to offer to work with us, let us know. And we'll
offer skills. Yeah, we need skills.
Yeah, I saw the email. If I would have known you were meeting, I would have attended the meeting, but I didn't know.
Okay. I think Kathy has a lot of good skills that you've been looking for. So I'll let you guys arrange something between you. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, we all should be involved. Is Jan still on the phone? Jan still here? I don't see him. Maybe talk with Jan and have, I see Jan now. Jan, maybe you can just make arrangements and get us together. Terry, you, myself, Eric.
Yes.
And John, AR. Anybody else you think should be there? And I think there was two people, Terry, is that right? Kathy and someone else?
I think Ellen, was it?
No. Ellen was there. Ellen's already a member, and we can get them all together.
All right, let's get together and talk, you know?
Okay.
A Thursday evening is good, or afternoon, or I don't know, whatever could work. And we'll take it from there. Just give me at least a notice.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take our next caller. Thanks a lot, Kathy. Okay, Anonymous, you got the mic. What's your first name and your state?
Yeah, hi, John. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. How you doing? Yep.
Okay, this is Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, yep.
I'm right in the middle of feeding my animals. It's okay. In the area I live in, I have a neighbor who was telling me that she and her husband, they've got 2 acres. They have a really nice, they've worked so hard to landscape and everything. And they were living in an RV. They didn't have a structured house on the property. And we're in, it's private owned. It's not, it's actually private owned property. It's acres and acres, miles and miles. But some realtor came out and discovered that, I guess she was showing a property next to it. She happened to see it. And she came out and she noticed there was an RV there without a standing building. And she reported them. And they went ahead and they got legitimate. I mean, they're not lawbreakers. They have an outside kitchen. I mean, they're very creative and they're older and they're like, they've lived a long time, done a lot of things.
Do they have a well and a septic, or do they have?
It does have a well and a septic. Yes.
Okay. And as long as that was done lawfully and they own the property, the town can't say or do anything.
Well, but out here, I remember I saw some property once I wanted to get, and it was a really nice RV, but they said, well, you can't buy that because it doesn't have a standing building on the property. So anyway, that's kind of a sketchy line, you know. But what happened is the county came out and they got that straightened out. And then they started looking at their electrical. They had them moving buildings around, like the tack room, and messing with the fence. And they built a cover, not a giant one. I mean, out here, if you have anything over 10 by 12, you have to pay more taxes. So they're on all that, you know. And that's
this is what it's all about. We're trying to take taxes for this, right?
Right. So there, it's been 16 months, and I was talking to her, and I sent her an affidavit. I've been working on them, and I'm doing the best that I can. I'm really finding myself in this. So anyway, we were talking, and I read her that affidavit that I have a copy of, someone did, and it blew her mind, you know. And so then, but that realtor went over to two or three other places and did the same thing in the same area. So she's going to talk to one of them, and I've been trying to find a place to meet, you know, like there's a steakhouse out here that has a back dining room area or something, you know, a neutral place. But you know, it's really painful. It's so painful to have
Let me ask you, what are they trying to do concerning them with this RV? I mean, what are they saying? What are they trying to do?
Well, the RV's gone, and they've got another mobile home. I think it's a single wide, but it's a nice one.
Okay.
And they went all the way to...
Single, now, are they still giving them a problem?
Oh, yeah. And not only that, but they...
But why? What are they saying?
Okay. They just send people out to just nose around, and
they have no trespassing signs.
Oh yeah, but the thing is, see,
you don't have to talk to a tax somebody who reports for the tax for the county.
It's not the tax. These are county employees that are coming out and finding problems that don't need to be fixed. It's for money. And
well,
they've spent like thousands of dollars. It's like they just come out. See, once they get on the property, once they come in, okay, they got the RV thing. Well, they squared that up. But now they want to look at the plumbing. And they're not stopping. And
Hold on. Let me ask you a question, okay? Mm-hmm. Is the mobile home on blocks or is it on a solid foundation?
I don't know. Yeah.
You should know one way or the other. Well, not that you should know, but they would know anyway.
Yeah,
but
they would know.
The thing is this: when you bring a mobile home in, okay, the inspector is there to inspect the process. All right, so that's done. It's sitting there, it's done. Okay, if there's a septic already done and there's electric already done and there's because it's already there before and a septic is already there and you have a plumber that makes the connection, that's done. The only thing that has to be certified is the electric. And the electric is an underwriting. You don't even have to go to the town for that. You know, the electrician should pay for the underwriting. It's only a couple of bucks. And that underwriter comes in and just inspects everything. There's not much to inspect because, first of all, the mobile home has already been approved by the state. If it's sitting on a block and it's got in there, there's nothing for them to look at or say or do. It's done.
Right. Well, she has a really good electrician that came out. But the guy said, from the county, he said that the wiring was wrong. And
No. If an underwriter came out and certified that, no matter who they send back, tell them to take a hike. You got underwriting done. It's finished.
Well, yeah. But see, this is the, you know, we go back to the mindset. And, you know, people try to be cooperative and all of that. And it's really going to a fault now. But what happened is they went down to the county and they said, what's wrong with our electrical? And the man at the desk said, well, it's the wrong size gauge, or he didn't even use that word. He used the wrong size wire. And they said, well, what is it? And he said, I don't know. You'll have to ask. And she said, well, so you don't know. And so how can you tell us that it's wrong?
Here's the thing, okay? Basically, when you get a mobile home or a modular home, okay, everything is already pretty much you have to discuss it. And usually, you know, the electric company comes out and sets up the connection to the house. The electrician brings it up to the place where they're going to make the connection and gets everything ready for the connection, and they get the underwriting. Now, the underwriting inside the house is already done because that's a modular home or a mobile home, okay? Mm-hmm. But the electrician that sets that up, he just has to have the underwriter come in, and the underwriter does a certificate. They put a label onto the electric box, okay, the circuit breaker. Uh-huh. And then there's a form that's given to the town that has been certified. It's done. Nobody needs to come out. The electric company makes their connection, and that could be the only thing that they're talking about that I can think of that they're talking about is underwired. You know, the gauge is not big enough. I don't know how that could even be. The electric company knows what they're doing.
So here's the thing, though. See, by looking at this other affidavit, all the things that they've done to her, this couple, it violates so many laws, so many things. But this is what they're doing out here, and so I'm just trying to keep going on this because the thing is that these people are loose cannons, and this county out here. This state is in a real bad shape in terms of the government.
And it's the people who's permitted this to happen. Okay?
Yeah.
And those who...
People didn't know.
But there are people who do know now, out in California and every state of this union. I know because we've been out everywhere. Okay? There's people that know that they need an education.
Not out here, man. I'm telling you, it's not happening. I cannot find an inspector who will do anything. I mean, for my situation, I mean, it's like you're at risk of being, they get their eyeballs on you the next thing you know. And, you know, it's like there's just a lot of weird stuff going on out here.
Look, there's another way. There's a couple other people we want to get to, so we want to cut this short.
All right, that's all I got.
There is another way to deal with this. You can go hire yourself. You can go hire an architect or an engineer.
No. This is outside of that scope, okay? I'm trying to show these people affidavits so that they can address this stuff.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is the problem...
I know, there's a procedure, but the procedures don't exist out here. I'm telling you.
Listen
you don't
to
have to believe me.
I understand what you're saying, but please just listen to what I'm saying, okay? You should tell these people this information, you know, okay? I don't know what it would charge an engineer or an architect to come out. Either one, architect or engineer, doesn't matter, as long as they're licensed.
To me.
Maybe they'll come out and charge you $500, maybe $800. They'll come out and inspect everything and then file it with the town, and the town is done and gone, and that's it.
That's in a sane, logical environment. It is not that way out here, John.
No, listen to me, okay? I've had problems in cities with this, and that's what I did. And believe me, the architect just told him, take a hike. I got this. I'll send all the papers and certifications in. And that was it. And I was able to get away without having to hire in their crooks. They got plumbers and electricians. They share my... I understand the story that's going on, but what I'm trying to tell you is this, okay? This is the important thing. That inspector is not an architect and not an engineer. That engineer or that architect trumps them. That's it. They're done. No state's going to go up against the engineer or an architect on the word of any kind of an inspector. They're not educated. They're not. They don't have the necessary licenses as an architect or an engineer. I'll tell you, that'll win anywhere you go. I believe.
Not here, man. I'm telling you. I know you don't believe me, and it's okay because it's unbelievable.
I do find it hard to believe, but you're telling me.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But you're telling me they've done that, and they just threw off the architect?
No, I'm talking about the county coming out and snooping around and making up stuff that's not true.
Doesn't matter. The point is if they've got an agenda and they've got a list on their agenda and you get an architect or an engineer to go through that agenda, write up a paper, file the papers, and then it's just a matter of going into the courts and have a cease and desist for harassment. Now, with that, I got to go. We can talk more next week if you want.
But, no, it's really not okay, John, because I didn't get to say what I was going to say, but goodbye.
All right, well, we can talk next week because we only got a couple of minutes. We have two people in. All right, we'll take our next caller here. 203, a wireless caller, first name and state.
Okay, John, I think you probably recognize my voice. Would it be okay if
I... voice. How you doing? Yep.
So you don't mind if I say my name because somebody might be...
That's okay, yep. Yep.
So, in relation to the property, you remember about the property, right?
I do remember, yep.
Okay, so somebody called me, a person who goes and tries to find people who had people who died and then try to call their relatives. Somebody called me saying they had finally started a foreclosure.
And so, who are they that started a foreclosure and what for? It was a mortgage foreclosure, foreclosure.
Mortgage foreclosure, and I think he was saying it was the bank.
Okay, now is there money owed on the home? I don't remember.
Money is owed. Yep.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
Yes, there is money owed to the bank.
Okay, yeah, we talked about some of the potential things here, I think we talked about the fact that when they try to do that foreclosure, it's a facade, and you got to keep going to court and fighting them and giving them a hard time.
May I interject a question? My ears are starting to perk up. In other words, this is becoming slightly fascinating to me. I don't remember you alluding to it being a facade, but I can entertain that because, right, it's all corruption. Everything is corrupt. All the courts are corrupt. Tell me more about this. Go ahead, continue.
They operate on what's called non-judicial foreclosure. Now, just think of the words, non-judicial foreclosure. That means we're going to come steal your house without going in through a judicial system or a requirement. That's a denial of due process. You could take that into federal court for a denial of due process. Now, you have to understand the con game that they're playing. We've written papers on this, and you have to go through the papers to understand the con game on non-judicial foreclosures. And the reason why they do non-judicial foreclosures is because they can't lawfully come in with a true judicial foreclosure on your home, because usually the people who are trying to foreclose have no skin in the game. They don't have a contract. They don't have an agreement with you. They didn't. When you go to a bank and the bank sets up a loan for you to begin with, okay, they go to the Fed window and they get money. There's no skin in the game. They don't have nothing in the game. The only thing they're doing is they're collecting the payments that they're claiming needs to be done, okay? And that's another story. Because now we have two accounts. We're not going to get it.
May I ask a question here, just if you don't mind? In other words, you're saying they don't really loan any money. They just kind of put figures in a person's account. They don't really loan any of their money.
Right. If you go into Black's Law, go into Bovier's Law, you can even kind of just Google it all over the internet and find out what the definition of a contract, what is an agreement, what is a contract, and you will find it is the meeting of a minds. If there's no meeting of the minds, there is no contract. If it's a one-sided contract, there's no meeting of the minds. And there is no meeting of the minds because they were just operating as the in-between person, setting up the loan and getting a point, so many points for setting the loan up that they get out of that. That's their profit. They're done, really. But then they send you a book and they tell you got to pay and you got to give it to them. And whatever they do with it, I'm sure they send some to the Fed window. I really don't know what they're doing with all that money. But now we get into another problem because, you see, there is, if you go back into, 100 years, 80 years ago, when they set this whole system up then with the SESCU accounts, okay, There was agreements and law put together on this, and there's a value on the life of every person because they've turned us into chattel, okay, which is livestock, okay? And that's the game they've been playing on us for a long time. We're slaves. We're chattel, you know? And so when you go into that, it creates another problem about that money, okay? And but the banks or the loaning institution that's trying to collect the money never was able to do that lawfully to begin with. That's number one. Number two, usually after so many years, especially when there's a default, they package it up and they sell it to a group, usually a group of lawyers. Okay, and they buy it, and then they come out, and they try to take your home away from you. These people have no agreement. They're like two or three people away from the original agreement, which you really don't have an agreement with anyone, because really it's between you and the Fed window, and the Fed is not coming out to get you. These people are coming out to get you. And so there's really no connection there at all. And they have absolutely no skin in the game. There's no meeting of the minds. They can't own a contract. And you'd have to agree anyway to change over if there was an agreement to change it to someone else. You'd have to agree to that. Now, it is a difficult case to battle, but you can when you battle it in court and you keep going to court and you raise all these issues, and you need to start getting more and more educated on it, and you start raising these issues and denying it and going through this process, you can find a lot of information on that under Education Starts Here, coming down to law, and then over to court forms and process. I think we have things in here, non-judicial foreclosures, and we have some stuff in our court our court access and the common law course, but back here, we have, demand and oath, common law trust, instruction forms, traffic court, challenging jurisdiction, moving your case for cause, habeas corpus, law enforcement, notice and demands, downloads, memorandums. I know it's in here somewhere as we have something on non-judicial foreclosures or foreclosures. Let me see if I can do a word search. Just put non. Here's a non-judicial foreclosure right here. Okay, here's a memorandum on a non-judicial foreclosure. We have it in Word and PDF, and it'll lay out the fraud, okay? So you need to understand that.
It'll lay out what? Sorry, lay out what?
Fraud. Fraud, F-R-A-U-D. Now, here's the thing. You have to countersue because you want a trial by jury. Anything over $20, you have to get a jury. They're not going to give you a jury, because that brings it into a court of law, even though it's a civil law court and they were operating under statutes. It creates another problem for them. I mean, this stuff just mounts, and the fraud just mounts and mounts and mounts as it goes on. So you have to come to understand this. The securitization of mortgages and tax foreclosures has become a common and growing white-collar swindle. You know, you can read it right here. Just read these seven pages, and it'll give you a good understanding, a decent understanding of the fraud.
Those papers would be found under the category at the website under non-judicial foreclosures?
Well, you come under Education Starts Here, okay, and you come down to Law, and then you go over down to Court Forms and Process, and then once you're on that page, you come down to Memorandums, and you'll see Memorandum on Non-Judicial Foreclosure. Now, the more and more you go to court to make this battle, you see, they really want you to just ignore this and everything gets done behind the scenes. And a lot of people just don't even go to court, or they try to fight it, and the lawyer that you hire is not on your side. You may think he is or she is, but they're not. And at some point, after they take enough money off you, maybe they exhaust whatever they can, and they're going to say, hey, we lost. You're going to lose your home. Sorry. Goodbye. You never win in those ways. But you can at least stall it for years on end, okay? I've seen people stall it for over 5 years, okay? Now, winning the case takes knowledge, and in the process, you need to know how to deal with the courts. You have to understand how the courts are structured, how it works, and you could do that through our course. You should be taking all of our courses and really educating yourself to be able to protect yourself against these thieves. Now, at some point in time, you see, they're going to deny you a jury trial, Okay, that's what you want them to do. You want them to deny you a jury trial. Because once they deny you a jury trial, you move it to federal court for cause. Now, when you move a case to federal court for cause, it's got to be a constitutional cause. A denial of due process, a constitutional cause. When you take it into federal courts, they're not interested in that case. They're not interested whether it's a mortgage case, a foreclosure mortgage, or a tax foreclosure. They don't care what that case is about. They really don't. Their only issue, and they will tell you, if you put the information on what that court case is about into the federal court for a denial of due process, they're going to immediately just throw it out. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to tell you why. They're just not going to hear it. Because they don't have the power, the authority to hear cases outside of their agenda, you know, outside of their powers or authorities. And the powers we gave them is constitutional powers. My point is this. You're going in there for nonjudicial foreclosure, for denial of due process. You're going in there for a denial of due process because they refuse to give you a jury trial because they're trying to take your home or your property. I wouldn't even say home. You're trying to take my property. My property is worth well over $20, and they're trying to do this without giving me due process. Now, that's number one. Also, the court itself operating in the way that it does, it's another argument because they're not giving you due process because they're acting under civil law anyway. Okay, and not under natural law. So it's another violation. I mean, there's so much fraud going on here, it just piles up. It's a mountain high. And there's so many things you can, arguments you can keep making in the courts, in the lower courts, till eventually you to the federal courts. And now, if they come into the federal court and they start to raise the issue, well, Your Honor, this is a tax foreclosure. You objection. That has nothing to do with this case. This is a constitutional case for a nonjudicial foreclosure. You denied me my due process, and that's what we're here for. You shut them down. You don't let them talk. And a judge should agree with you on that. Okay? You could win on that. And you're winning on a case that the federal courts may not have a problem with because, you see, you're not really going up against the status quo. The issue of the fact that it's a mortgage foreclosure is not coming into the case. It's just a denial of due process case where they refuse to give you a jury trial to take in your property. Okay? And it's a cut and dry, and you could take that up the line and win it in an appeals court through the federal courts. Okay, if you don't win it, and you should win it in the lower court. Okay, and it is a good case to try to bring up to the Supreme Court. And in the process of doing this, you need to get educated, because if you're not educated, you're not going to be able to bring it into the federal court. You're not going to be able to bring it up into the Supreme Court. You're not going to have the knowledge and the ability to do it. Okay, unless you got maybe $1 million to some lawyer to do it for you.
Yeah, you do. I wouldn't know the first thing to do in relation to this. I'm one who's a neophyte with experience. I don't have it. I wouldn't know the first thing to do.
Yeah, I understand.
Just like you were saying.
Let me tell you, for the people who are listening in and don't have a problem and understand your problem, well, you may one day have this problem if you don't do something now. So my point is this. Read this paper. Do the best you can. Go to the court, make your arguments the best you can off of this memorandum. You don't have to bring the whole memorandum in. You could bring a point here and a point there, okay? The main point I would be, I have no agreement with these people. Who are they? I don't have a contract with them. They're suing me. They claim and have a contract. Where's the contract? Where's my signature? You say that's where it starts. That's the argument where it begins. And that could go on for months on end, even a year.
Let me fill you in with something. You remember it's... technically, it is my property, but it's in my mother's name. It hasn't gone through foreclosure, so
I guess.
Okay, so I guess they wouldn't consider it being taking my property, maybe because it hasn't gone through their court yet.
Well, are they addressing you to come into the court?
No.
Who are they addressing?
Do you know what? I don't know. I guess I'd have to find out. The guy called me and said the property is going to be foreclosed, and
keyword, your property, unless what?
Sorry, repeat that.
I cut you off when you say unless the property is going to be foreclosed, unless.
Yeah. Okay. So he said he looked up. His business is to look up. He told me to find properties that estates, and they had that of people who had become deceased, and then find their relatives and contact them and let them know. So then I'm the relative, and he called me and told me that they had, in July the 2nd, just a few days ago, they had started a foreclosure process.
Well, then you need to get the information on that and make the argument. You are the heir. Now, look, at an heir, look, at in under common law, okay, anything that I'm an heir to, I don't have to go to the government to have them sign anything, to do anything for me. I mean, they try to set things up. They try to make statutes and everything to require it because they want their money, and they're going to try to steal that property no matter what anyway. And so you need to make your argument that there is no agreement, okay? Where is the agreement? You claim that you have some kind of papers or ownership or agreement to something that you think you could take this property. Well, let me get a copy of that. Where is that? They can't. There's nothing to dig up, okay? They'll send you paperwork, but if you look through it, it doesn't mean anything. It's not a contract. It's not an agreement.
Okay.
Okay, so, but the thing is this, you need to study the law. If you can start working and dabbling in the courts, you can follow some of the process I just gave you here by looking into the non-judicial foreclosure memorandum, start making some arguments in the court, first of all, you're going to be into the court and you're going to make the fact that you are the heir to this property. That your mother passed away and you're it, that's it, there's no one else to talk to, it's now my property. You're saying I owe money to somebody? Well, who did my mother owe money to, and where is the contract? There is none. They can't get nothing. They're not going to find nothing. There's nothing to find. Okay?
The bank, they have the facade of having papers that a person would sign when the bank gives them the loan quotation marks.
I understand that. And when you go through the papers and read through it, their whole part is setting up the loan. They have nothing in the game. They didn't put the money up. There's nothing in the game. There's no meeting of the minds. Okay, they got the money from the Fed window. Okay, so go have the Fed come get money from me. Okay. They can't do it. I wouldn't say that in court, though. But the feds won't come out to get money from you anyway. They're relying on the banks to do all of this fraud business stuff. But the thing is that, there is no agreement. Where is the agreement? Show me the agreement. They're probably two or three groups away to begin with, okay? Because it's been years now,
Do you mean my mother never signed a contract in awareness outlining all these issues.
She signed papers to get money from the Fed window. Okay. They didn't. They signed papers on her behalf to go through the front to the Fed window to get the money. And it's really just a digital change. There's no real exchange.
It's really what? Sorry.
It's just digits. Put digits into the bank and says, "Hey, yeah, here's $200,000."
Counterfeiting money out of air,
Now you have another argument too, but that's not one you want to get into.
Okay.
But the thing is, though, is that there is no meeting of the mind. Your mother had no meeting of the mind with anyone, okay, to discover and create a contract. There's no two signatures for a contract, and what they are is they are just the ones that set the loan up. And when you set up a loan, if you're an agent that's setting up a loan, you get a point, a half a point, 2 points, whatever it is that works out. I mean, I don't know what it would be and when it was and how long ago, but maybe the bank for setting this up gets a point. They're paid off, they're done. Now, they may be collecting money claiming to pay into the Fed window, and maybe they are. I don't know what they're doing with that money. But certainly they're pocketing a lot of that money to begin with. That's why the lawyers are buying it up, because they're making a lot of money off that, trying to get the property, take it away, sell it, and make a fortune. You know? So anyway, there's a lot you need to learn on that, and you need to start studying now.
Apparently. Let me ask you, you don't mind if I call you if I need some, maybe some assistance at that number that you had given before, if you don't mind.
Yeah, but I can give you some ideas and thoughts. It's best, if possible, to do it on the Monday night program for a couple of reasons, for other people to hear, number one, and they could learn.
Oh, okay, so just call back if I need some assistance or I have a question, just call back on Monday.
Yeah, because I can give you advice, and other people might be able to use that advice, too. So
yeah, I see the purpose there, that then other people are educated at the same time.
Right.
Other people listening, you have an audience.
The reason why we started Monday night programs years ago. We've been here every Monday night. There's only a few times when we wasn't here, maybe Christmas or something like that. But generally speaking, we're here every Monday. We have been for, 15 years or whatever. Even before we were a National Liberty Alliance, we were here. So, but the bottom line is I understood that, what we're doing, people need to have contact. And so that's why I'm here every Monday night as an open forum to answer people's questions, give them some advice, help them to get educated, try to convince them to get committees of safety going and work with us to take the nation back, to take our courts back, and to take our government back by having government by the consent of the people, which is in the Declaration of Independence. That's the point. We have government by the consent of the people. But if the people don't know how to consent to government, which they don't, then you don't have government by consent, do you? I mean, these people do whatever they want. They think we're a democracy. They don't even know. It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for what you're doing. It's a very noble purpose.
All right, well, we'll talk again soon. We've talked a lot in the past. We'll talk again soon. Let me know. Try to get educated. Look at, I strongly suggest for everybody, okay, to take our court access in the common law course. A number does two things. It educates you thoroughly in court process, how things work. You get a good picture of that, okay? And the other thing, we charge $125, and that supports National Liberty Alliance. Got to keep the lights on. So it has two purposes. But we have lots of courses in here. Most of them are free. You should start off taking those courses also. But if you don't know the law, you're going to be taken advantage of. And the law is not statutes and trying to remember this. It has nothing to do with natural law. Natural law is simply common sense with an eye on justice. That's all it is. And you're working off the heart. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. You know, we already know the law. It's already written in our hearts. God told us that. So we know when a wrongdoing was done. And we know we should compensate people when wrongdoings are done if we're sitting on a jury. And the best way to compensate people is with money, because that's just the way it is. You know, you compensate the person by not allowing someone from stealing their house. And paying for stress and whatever cost it took you to fight that in court, you know. Anyway, let me move on to another caller. It's really late and we got to close down, so I'll give a minute or two to a couple other people.
Okay, thanks, John.
All right. Okay, Jeff, PA, you got the mic. Only got a minute or two. Sorry, Jeff, you there, Pennsylvania? 724. Okay, I guess Jeff's away from his computer. We have one other caller, an anonymous. You got the mic. Let me see if I can get this going. Okay, anonymous, you got the mic. We're going to get it 2 minutes.
Yes, John, this is Elizabeth. I am sorry I got disturbed and I hung up very rudely. You don't deserve that. I was just frustrated and I called one time, and I thought Jan picked up, and I wanted to talk to you, and he said, well, we don't talk to anybody. And so it's like, okay, but tonight I heard you guys talking with someone, and it sounds like this woman is, like, really on it, you know, and I could see why you'd probably want to have that conversation. I'm actually, you know, learning quite a bit, and I had one question on this notice and demand.
Right.
At the end of the, I looked every word up that I needed to, and I couldn't find the definition. I mean, I'll put it in context for you. Okay, come on. Oh, here it is. So it's talking about at the end where it says, if you fail to satisfy the demand within a lot of time after having duly served with this notice and demand, then it's tacit procuration, and it goes on, and it'll say that you'll determine, this is going to determine the following. One, that the aforesaid demand was just, and two, that the court of record in the state that she's referring to may enforce the demand either ex parte or con parte. And I even went into Bovier, I couldn't find it. Ex parte, it looks like you, if you were, it's kind of, I pulled it out of Black's, but it seems like it's not okay to have a discussion with just half, you know, without the other party. Is that ex parte or con parte?
That's ex parte. You just mean that you have, you got to understand something. When people default, they're defaulting to the paper and the words you have there, okay? And so you're letting them know, if you don't respond and you don't do the right thing and we don't accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished within a certain amount of time, then you've defaulted and I will decide for you. Maybe ex parte or con parte. To go in ex parte, I would file a default right into the court and shut them down and make sure your wherefore clause has been powerful enough inside your notice and demand. And your wherefore clause is just letting them know what your demands are and what you expect out of this demand, okay? And so then moving it into the court for the sole purpose of a default, okay? Now, unfortunately, these people are ignorant to the common law, to the natural law. They're totally ignorant to it. I think judges somewhat understand this, but a lot of lawyers, they don't understand. They think it's crazy or whatever because they don't know natural law. They don't know common law at all. They think common law is trial court decisions. That's what they think. That is the most moronic thing I ever heard in my life. It's so self-serving for it to be trial court decisions. Who cares what a trial court decision is? That's appealable. It's not the final word. It can't be held up. Okay? But that's what they think common law is, and they quote cases. I don't quote cases, you know, I just quote facts, and so that's not the common law. But the point is this: you have to be very specific in this paper that you're working on. You have to be very specific on what your expectations are. You have to be very specific on what your demands are for these people to do, and what the penalty is going to be if they do not do it, and what the penalty is for what they've already done. Whatever the case may be, you fill it all out in here, and that's where the final ending is. It's ex parte or con parte in the sense that I'm just going to take this and file a default, okay? Uh-huh. You send a notice of default into the court, and you move for it. Now, you might be able to just go, you know, it's hard to even talk to a judge anymore. Used to be I'd be able to go in and talk with a judge. Last time I went to talk to a judge, they said, judges don't talk to people. I said, what are you talking about? I've done it many times. It's been a while since I've done it. But I'd done it before, and no, the judges aren't going to talk to you. Okay, which separates you further from the law, doesn't it? Okay.
Well, I hear they'll throw you in jail. They will.
Well, yeah, you can't argue with them. But, you know, who knows? You can go and try to talk with the judge, and you could file your papers directly with the judge and say, look, I'm filing a default, but I'd like to get your signature on this. And you do it under an affidavit form. It's got to be an affidavit form. You bring your paper, your notice and demand, and everything. And then you have to do an affidavit of default. You can get that on our website, too, same page. Right. And then the judge may look at it and sign off on it. You know, I've seen judges sign off on some things pretty impressively years ago. It's been a while. But, you know, now they may say, well, no, you need to notify the other side. You've got to be heard. Well, you hear them on a default, you know. Right. You then write the default up, and you make them, when you have them come in, you know, you send a summons for them to come in, and you have a paper. They have to answer yes or no, okay? And you go through these questions, okay? And they will convict themselves. You know, you go off this paper, you got the signature, we agreed, didn't you agree to this, do you agree to that, did we agree to this, did we agree to that, did we agree to this, did we agree to that, did we agree to this? They have to answer that honestly. The papers will show they're a fraud if they try to say, no, they didn't. Well, wait a second, what are you talking about? Look at your signatures right here, we agreed, okay? But the thing is, and you got the notice, now you're just moving in for a default. You have to make your argument in the case for a default and a default alone, okay? And that's, and I would not allow them. I would take it up the line to object to any way that they want to hear this case all over and start from scratch. No, they've already defaulted. I'd move it into move it up to the appeals court.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Okay. That's fine.
All right. I got to go now because it's late and I'm tired.
John, just so you know, I'm a sound engineer, 25 years, and I hear your audio, you know, frequently. There's problems with it, and is it Terry? Is that the gentleman who is running the sound?
Yes.
I would love to talk to him if
we don't have any control on that. Maybe we need a better mic. Maybe we got to get a mic that costs.
It's really simple, but it's not a big deal. But I mean, it's really not a big deal. But if I could talk to him. I might be able to be of service.
Well, nobody controls our mics or anything. This is a pro-call start meeting.
Well, like last week with the sheriff, it was over-modulated, and I was like, oh, no. You know, and the music before the start was totally crushed. It was over-modulated. And and then when you get
about,
on, you're over-modulated.
About,
I'm sorry.
How about 303?
Oh, okay. Hang on.
465-303-465-3233. Thank you.
3233. Okay. And
what was your name?
My name is, it's Elizabeth.
Okay, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Yeah, that was Terry. Do you think we could do something with this and what Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't see any way to correct it because it's built into the program that they have.
Well,
I used my mixer to straighten it out.
Yeah.
But we can talk. She can call me.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it. And if there's anything that we can do, I'll take care of it. Okay?
Yeah. You know, because it's like you want people to come here and I want you to have the best.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Give me a call. We'll see you later.
Okay.
Give me a call.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So maybe
thank
we
you,
could.
John. Please forgive me for my indiscretion. I was just real frustrated. You know, I mean, out here we do know all about how the procedure is to be supposed to be, and I understood where you're coming from. So, thank you very much.
All right, I appreciate your call.
Take care.
Right, well, that's it for the night. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night, everyone. Okay. Thanks for coming.
All right.
And where we go from there.